Take Back the Land is a project of the Center for Pan-African Development, and last weekend moved a family into a one-bedroom apartment that was unoccupied. Jason Thompson, Cassandra Cobbs, and their two young children had been living in their van, according to Max Rameau, an activist with Take Back the Land, who said that his group is matching homeless people with people-less homes.
They were moved into a place which has been vacant for over a year. No one was living there. At times, some people in the homeless people in the area broke into the place and slept there overnight, but no one had been sleeping there in some time. And so here was a perfectly good home, and there was no one living in it, and there's a perfectly good family, and they needed a place to live, and so it seemed like a natural match.
WMNF asked Rameau if he anticipated that authorities would try to kick this family out of the housing that they're squatting in.
Well, given how heartless these authorities are, I would imagine that eventually they're going to try to do something like that. I mean, we have a situation here where you have specific people and institutions who are manufacturing, in essence, homelessness, and they're making people homeless. But instead of the government and the police going after the people who are creating homelessness, instead they're going after the people who are trying to solve the problem of homelessness by moving people into perfectly good vacant units. And so we think this is really backwards. And that they should focus their attention instead on the people who've been stealing money and who've been helping developers instead of helping human beings.
Rameau said that the homeless crisis is a result of cronyism and could have been avoided.
We have what has been attributed by the census as the worst housing crisis in the United States down in Miami-Dade County. Every indication is that local and federal government agencies have been adding fuel to the fire, making the crisis of gentrification and low-income housing even worse than it is now, and all to the benefit of developers and land speculators, etc. So people still need a place to live. People don't have a place to live, and yet because of foreclosures and because of all these condos that are going up, and there's not enough buyers for the condos, but they're still getting all kinds of government subsidies, we have all these vacant units.
The Umoja Village and squatting in occupied housing are strategies for regaining community control of housing, Rameau said.
Really is about land and who controls land and ultimately who controls the housing on that land. And we feel that wealthy developers should control land in our community, and that the elected officials who do the bidding of the wealthy developers should control land in our community, that the people who live in our community should control it. The black people should control the land of the black community. And this is really a move towards garnering community control over land and community control over housing. And that's what we're moving towards, and this is just the strategies and tactics we're employing in order to do that.
Reverend Bruce Wright is the pastor and director of the Refuge Ministries Lionheart Recovery and has worked extensively with homeless people in St. Petersburg. Wright complimented the tactics of the Miami homeless activists.
I think it's a great strategy, and it's reflective of the fact that there are so many vacant buildings in most cities, including the city of St. Petersburg and Tampa and Clearwater as well, but obviously in Miami. And I think it's a great tactic because the city has so many unused buildings that the city has control over or owns. We view housing and shelter and food as a human right, according to the UN Declaration of Human Rights. And, of course, from our own spiritual perspective, we believe that it's in keeping with our faith tradition.
Earlier this year, when homeless residents of St. Petersburg erected a tent city, the tents were slashed and destroyed by the police. A similar attack occurred a few weeks ago on the tents of homeless people in Lakeland, Wright said.
While many of them were at day labor, many of the members of the homeless community, the city came in with bulldozers and law enforcement and essentially destroyed a homeless encampment, including several people's personal possessions, and drove out the homeless that were there. And we view that as, again, another example of cities criminalizing the homeless and, in fact, acting in a criminal manner. And we would characterize that as a hate crime.
There are plans to set up a tent city in Pinellas Park, but Wright sees four reasons why this won't be a fair solution for St. Petersburg's homeless residents.
First was that it's 125 blocks from downtown St. Pete. Secondly, they're requiring every homeless person to have a background check and possibly wear a wristband. And thirdly, there is not really any homeless governance. Members of the homeless community are not involved at this point in governance, though they do say that they will. And lastly, and most importantly, we think that this is an attempt at the city of St. Pete to support an effort to remove the homeless or get them out of the way for tourist season, because if you notice, this is only slated to run from December 1st through March 15th.
Wright thinks that tourism may be the real motivation why the city of St. Petersburg supports opening that tent city in Pinellas Park.
They have an ordinance that basically states it's illegal to sleep outside and illegal to sleep in tents. And they can't enforce it now because there's not enough shelter beds, because that's the caveat in there. But if they have this open, we have fears that they may use it as an enforcement tool. And so we have requested, actually, the Interfaith Shelter Committee of the Homeless Coalition agreed unanimously, which included members of Catholic Charities and Pinellas County Social Services, to ask that the city, the mayor, and the chief of police of St. Petersburg put in writing that they will not use this as an enforcement tool. Because otherwise, we know what's really behind all this, and it's really to clear people out for tourism.
WMNF contacted the Pinellas County Coalition for the Homeless and the Miami-Dade Homeless Trust, but they did not return our calls by airtime. To learn more about Take Back the Land, visit takebacktheland.net. For WMNF News, I'm Sean Canaan.